I'm Derek.
And I'm Noah. And you're listening to A Bite Of,
where we take our current favorite pop culture obsession and we enjoy it one nibble at a time.
One nibble.
This is the final nibble.
It's the last nibble of Loki.
Forever.
No. I can't. I won't accept it.
You may live in denial if it helps you get through the day.
You're back.
I'm back.
Yeah, you weren't on the last episode.
I wasn't. The amazing Ron was on the last episode. Yeah. I listened to it on the ride back from my conference, and I was very impressed.
Oh, because of me?
Yeah, because of the both of you. You guys are both very smart. And also, you said my name three times, so I felt famous.
I like how that's what you counted as you're driving. You're like, yep, one.
I was driving, and I was like, oh, that's me. They know who I am.
So I'll ask you if you have anything to add about episode five when we like do the spoiler warning and everything, just in case there's some people, you know.
Two episodes behind.
Yeah. That way, you know, our listeners can just, I guess, if you have anything to say about episode five before leading into
this. I have so much to say about episode five.
Surprise, this is episode five.
Not you six. Didn't cover anything.
So before we get into it, friendly reminder, we are on our way to 200 reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So throw some stars our way.
And we're 199 behind. So get on it.
We don't have one. So make sure you're following the podcast on any platform that you listen to and hit that follow button or subscribe button. It's greatly appreciated. We have a bunch of stuff coming up, stuff that we're doing that we used to do, stuff that's new. So, you know, get ready for that. We have the Marvels episode coming out on Monday. So a couple days after this episode drops, you can, every time you're miming, it throws me off.
Only the people who are watching it know what I'm doing. I'm just adding emphasis to everything that you're saying.
That way you're not just staring right at me.
All the announcements.
Okay. Lots to talk about. It's the finale. Let's take a look back.
Yes. All right. So taking a look back at Loki season 2, episode 5, science fiction. After the loom goes boom, Loki finds himself slippity sliding from branch to branch, catching up. Dang it. I did it to myself. Loki finds himself slippity sliding from branch to branch, catching up with his old buddies in their new-ish lives. Casey escapes the clink. B-15 is the doc on the scene. Mobius calls for his kid Kevin, and OBAD writes less famous to be or not to be, sort of. Wow. Sylvie gives Loki the brush off until her favorite record shop spins into spaghetti. OBAD builds a keyboard-sized tempad, and the gang reunites. Just as they once again find themselves turning to Tagliatelle, Loki gets a hold on his time slipping and knows he has a chance to go back and try again.
Bravo. That's the last summary that you're going to do for Loki, because we don't have a confirmation of a season three.
Ever again.
Bravo. Tagliatelle. Oh my God.
Tagliatelle.
One is hard to say, but also great reference in there.
You know, when I heard you read my synopsis from last week, I realized that I missed the opportunity to use Tagliatelle, so I had to take it now and do it.
You did it. So spoiler warning for Loki as a series, MCU, comic canon, all that stuff. So you've been warned. We don't want to officially prune you from the timeline for spoiling.
All right, let us officially take a bite of Loki season 2, episode 6, Glorious Purpose. Sounds familiar.
Very familiar. Season 1, episode 1. Glorious Purpose.
Glorious Purpose. I'm also calling this episode Loom, Doom, Destiny, and the After.
Well, fun.
Yeah.
I like that. You just wanted to do Loom and Doom together,
and
huh?
And then the D from Doom goes to Destiny, and then the After just sounds like, oh my gosh, which it was.
So what are your initial thoughts of the assumingly series finale of Loki?
Okay, so I don't want to say a problem, but these last two episodes, I feel like in both episodes, the same thing just kept happening over and over again.
To be fair, I think this one, it should have.
Agreed. But just coming from the episode before this, where it just felt like more spaghetti, more time slipping. And then we get another one where it is supposed to happen. It felt like, oh, we're just doing the same thing over and over again. However, I think the payoff in this one was well worth it.
Hmm. Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I could literally just watch them talk in a room, which is most of this season. I loved it. I think this is, should I say it now? Yeah, whatever. It is my all-time favorite series for the MCU. It's just beat out all the other ones.
But you're putting the two seasons together
yes.
as a series. Okay.
Yes. I mean, that's right. We don't have any other second season, so I kind of have to put them together.
Rub it in, Noah. Well, take that, She-Hulk.
Well, you know, I'm wearing my spirit tee of Loki, so.
You did wait online for almost an hour at Comic-Con to get that spirit tee.
I really did.
Well deserved.
Yeah, I think Loki would appreciate it.
He would, but he would also just slip to the front of the line and just take someone else's spot.
We don't all have time-slipping abilities, so I had to literally wait in line for over an hour for it, but it was well worth it. Favorite series that the MCU has put, I think as a whole, it just, thinking back on the first season and how they wrote a second season to almost literally mirror the first season to this one, and then the payoff of the entire story. I mean, I put this on social media, but I'm like not exaggerating. This was years of character development. And I mean, it just paid off in the most glorious way. I loved it. I think Loki is the best character in the MCU as far as character development and where that character started and where it's gone. I just, you know, I loved it.
He's definitely had a journey. An interesting thing that I thought of for some reason was when Captain America went back in time and just lived his life.
Right.
With Peggy. And I felt like when that happened, everybody was like, oh, he's old. That's ridiculous. But it was like, no, it made sense. That's how he wanted to live his life. And that was like the first time we saw someone like travel through time and stay traveling through time. Mm-hmm. And so now we're here with Loki and the entire thing is about time travel. So it was like, we got that little seed with Captain America and obviously that entire arc where they were going back and getting all the stones to this whole series. And really in this last episode, how many times did he travel back in time? I mean, we may never know.
Thousands, hundreds of thousands.
And even spent centuries in one part of time to learn all of, I don't know, science.
And theoretical physics, by the way.
There you go.
But I mean, even with that, how many times did he have to travel back to then learn stuff? Because I mean, how is he going to sit there for 100 years with somebody when the TVA is about to explode? So like, how did that even work? Like, did he just keep going back to Obi or did he go further back? And he's like, can you just sit with me for 400 years?
In my mind, he like found, this is the wrong name, but like he found like Aristotle and he was like, hey, Aristotle, I'm Loki. Can you teach me everything you know?
That's definitely the wrong name.
Hey, Pluto.
He was a philosopher.
Hello, Machiavelli.
No, Casey and Obi.
Casey Kasem.
Yeah, Casey and Obi definitely are the ones that taught him that.
But I don't think so.
He literally asked him to teach him. What do you mean, no?
In my mind, he was sitting with old men with long beards.
Absolutely not. It's definitely them. So this episode, I think, initially, like when you're experiencing it, it's kind of jarring, right? Because he's going back in time, he's time slipping, he's going to events and doing them multiple times. And we're seeing scenes that we literally just saw either in episode 4 or episode 5. And it's wild and frantic. And there's some scenes where I was like, okay, we've seen this one like a little too many times. Like, yes, he's going to turn into spaghetti. It's not going to work. But I did like, as it went on with his time slipping, that like there was like a scene where it's one of the final ones where it works with Victor Timely and he's putting stuff together and he's like putting stuff into the computer and he's kind of saying Mobius's sentence before he said it. He's like, ha, yeah, real funny guy. And it's like, it's so funny. I like how they still slipped in some of those little quips in there.
I liked in that scene in particular how he was at the computer and he was the one typing things into the keyboard. That's how much he knew now. That's like how many times he's practiced. Yeah. Yeah,
he like pushed Obi out of the way.
Yes. I also liked in the scene with the loom, kind of seeing as it went further, oh, it almost worked this time. Oh, Timely got a little further out this time. Oh, like that was kind of exciting to see. And the pace was really picking up. But then when he spent the century learning everything and then coming back, he was just a know-it-all.
Yeah, he just put everything together real quick. I loved the whole concept of this episode, right? In this whole series, it all plays with time. The logo in the beginning was all reversed. It was fantastic. I love how they play with those little elements in here.
Noah was fully panicked when the Loki O was just left standing. He was just like,
oh, at the end.
At the end, yeah. He's just like, why? Why?
Yeah. I sat through the entire credits because I'm like, I'm waiting for them to confirm season three. They did not, and they still have not. Eric Martin, the writer and producer for the show, has said that there's like no plans for a season three. Okay, fine.
It was funny. At the end of the first season, we weren't looking to have a season two, not in a bad way. We're just like, oh, that was so much fun. And then it was like Loki season two. We were like, yay. And then this one, we're like, oh, there's got to be a season three. And it was like, no.
Yeah. I mean, well, we also waited 2 years for like another
season. Time means nothing, especially in the MCU. I mean, we've covered so many properties since the first season of Loki. This just seems like yesterday.
We've covered every single MCU show so far. It's like, what, nine?
Beat that. I don't know. Someone else. Every single one at length, episode to episode of coverage. You might even say we're taking a bite of each series a week.
I thought it was really interesting that he gained the ability to, because what was it in the end of, or the beginning of the fifth episode when everything exploded and he was time slipping, but seeing himself, then he found a way to time slip back into himself.
Right, the body that's there.
It's so cool.
He also knows how to like bring himself and someone else, in this case, Sylvie, outside of time.
Yeah, you can stop it.
While something is happening.
Yeah.
It's very powerful.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So I loved the montage of him trying to figure it out. You know, how many times did Victor Timely get turned into spaghetti? A lot of times. But at the end of that, after spending centuries learning theoretical physics, trying it how many times, speeding through Obi's mock-up design where he couldn't even say that he didn't put a coat of paint on it, it was never going to work. The loom can't expand fast enough for the infinite amount of timelines that are being made.
That's why they gotta prune them.
It's insane.
Yeah,
Victor Timely was like, it's like dividing by zero. Just, it can't work.
Victor Timely, this would have helped if you explained it 485,000 times ago. Thanks for telling us now when it's too late.
Well, the interesting thing about Victor is when Loki eventually goes to He Who Remains talks about Victor Timely and he's like, oh, is that what he told you? So, I mean, does he know something that we don't? Or like, does he just not like Victor Timely because he was one of the only good ones that we've seen so far of Kang? It's an interesting thing for him to say, but I'm like, did he know this whole time, or like, was he conning them? Does he not like
him? It almost feels like he was making fun of him in that moment because he does sort of mimic the way that Victor Timely talks. And maybe because he is sort of not a mild mannered, but he's more of an earthling. You know what I mean? He's more of a human than a lot of the other Kang. So he might see him as weak, even though he's sort of the thought behind everything that He Who Remains created.
Right. Anything else you want to mention with the time slipping stuff before we get into like him trying to figure out everything else?
I did think it was also fun that we got a scene from the first episode ever where he's sitting with Mobius.
Right.
You know, so that was also really cool as well. So he really does slip all around the series as a whole.
Yeah. So when he goes to it, I like that he went to Mobius and he goes to Sylvie. He goes to the two people that are like his confidants. So he goes to Mobius and he's pretty much asking him like, how do you make a hard decision? And I mean, I was expecting Mobius, because I'm so used to the Mobius now, I expected him to kind of be like, well, trust your instincts and you got it, kid. You know, like, I don't know why I think that's why he talks.
We're all just trying to be good in this world, Loki.
Wow. But so this is season one Mobius before he knows that they're all variants and everything like that. So he tells him the story of, you know, during the battle, what was it, the Black Sea or something like that. I can't remember the actual battle, but we can infer that it was him that he was talking about, not like a Minuteman, was supposed to prune an 8-year-old that was going to kill a lot of people, thousands of people. He hesitated. So then Renslayer stepped in and did it. Now we know kind of why they're like butting heads. He couldn't do what needed to be done, but also like, damn, Renslayer, you just killed a child.
And that's how she has always seen him. as the person who paused and caused mayhem, you know? So I think that she's always held that against him. Poor Mobius.
What a jerk.
And he's just like,
but like, she's a teacher and she had no problem pruning an 8-year-old in front of her brother.
But she didn't know that she was a teacher. She just knows that she's there to prune the shit out of people.
Maybe that's why she hesitated with Sylvie. Because if I'm not mistaken, she hesitated with Sylvie and that's how Sylvie escaped. Because she brought her in and then she like, you know, took her tempad and then she could have ruined her. She could have done something, but then she escaped. So maybe there was some of that teacher slipping through finally. And maybe Mobius being mad at her at some point made her like, this is a child.
Or maybe she just had Miss Minutes whispering in her ear, just let her go, darling. We'll see what happens.
So the after Loki's trying to figure everything out, right? He goes to Mobius. He's like, what do I do? How do you make a hard choice? The choice is right back to the first season, the finale of the first season. Essentially, take his spot or kill Sylvie or just let it go. He's at this point, he's like on the way to kill Sylvie. Like he's coming to terms with it. That's why he asked Mobius, like, how do you make a really hard decision? And then he talks to Sylvie about it. He goes in the last episode right before everybody's turning into spaghetti and he stops time and he talks to her. And I loved this conversation because it was like, it was very human of her because he's telling her like, this is kind of what has to be done. Tell me what to do. And she's like, I'm not going to tell you to kill me.
Right.
Like,
I'm not going to give you my blessing.
Yeah. I want to survive. I want to live. So don't come to me with that. You have to make the decision. So don't include me in that.
I think this is another, you know, this is something else to say about a character's growth, right? Where at the end of last season, Sylvie was so hot-headed. She knew exactly what she wanted to do. She had her dagger out and she knew she wanted to kill He Who Remains. But here we are, who knows how many months, years later, and she could look at Loki and have this very grown-up conversation, not fly by the seat of her pants and say, I see what you're saying. The only way to stop it is to kill me. That's up to you.
Yeah, I'm not going to, I agree with her, right? It's like, you want to do this, but then you want to replace one bad with a nut. Like you're just not doing it. Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you.
I feel like old Sylvie would have been like, you want to try and take my life? Well, I'm going to take your life.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, so this was just her standing there going like, cool. Okay. You learned some new tricks. All right. I hear what you're saying. Well, if that's the way it has to be, that's the way it has to be. But I'm not going to give you my consent to kill me.
So good. Agree.
Also killing yourself, sort of.
The person that you love?
Yourself?
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's not, you know, it's a crazy thing to think about what Loki's going through right now, right? It's like he spent all those centuries learning all this stuff. It's not working. He spent how many times trying to get it to work? He went back to Mobius and talked to him. He went to Sylvie and talked to her. And he's like, okay, this is the point. It's not making Timely go faster to get to it. And he can't put that much pep in his step. He has to go back further. And he's like, oh, okay, maybe it's when she killed He Who Remains. And that's when the branches started. This like rehash of the finale of the last season is insane.
So one thing that I noticed about this is that I'm trying to figure out how to say this. The way that they shot this scene last season, it felt like it was very much from the right side of the room. This episode, whenever he's talking to Kang, it's from the left side of the room. Everything's shot from the left side of the room. So it's so weird to see that shift, right?
It's but, like inverted.
Exactly. And but that's the whole point, is that this is how we saw it last year, but now this is how we see it at the end of this finale. So I thought that was really smart. And it was jarring to see, because we've seen that scene a couple of times, even in this season, when she pushes Loki up against the desk with the knife and she's getting ready to kill He Who Remains. We've only seen it from that angle, but all these new conversations are happening from the other side.
It's so good. I think that it was so seamless too, right? It's like, you know, it seemed like it was just a continuation of that season finale because I still felt the same things. And I remember those conversations, right? It was just an insane conversation that we were having. And then what we were left with was the multiverse essentially opening up. And in this one, Loki's trying to figure out a way to stop it and what's the best way to do that. But like having the way it was shot, right? It's like you're close up on his face, constantly trying to get the upper hand on Sylvie, which I mean, he like tried to kill her how many times? We don't know. But like every single time you hear her saying the same thing, you're going to have to kill me. You're going to have to kill me. And she does it over and over again. And you hear Kang doing nothing.
Eating his apple.
Yeah, just sitting there watching the whole thing. When it finally stops, oh, I did want to bring it. So you remember in the season finale of the first one where he was like, we just crossed the threshold. And there were so many people that were like theorizing like, oh, that's when like Wanda did this thing or whatever. Do you think it's plausible that that threshold, because Kang knows, or he who remains knows that this was the path that Loki was supposed to be on the entire time, that's when he goes back? Like Loki time slips to that moment. So that was like the threshold of like, this is where Loki's going to decide what he's going to do. That's what I think that threshold actually was. It wasn't like Wanda or anybody else. I think it was, that was the moment that Loki's going to time slip back and he can't see what's going to happen.
I think that sounds definitely more plausible. You know, just as a note overall, I feel like these Marvel TV shows don't really take from, I don't know, like they don't take from the movies. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, we'll meet a character after a movie, but like something in the movie happening, hasn't shown up in a series while the series is happening. Like something when Wanda switched the multi, you know what I mean? So it just seems like, it seems more plausible that it's something that's just existing in this story, in this world.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's one of those things where it's like, there were so many theories about what that could have been. But I think now we have like a more definitive answer of like, it was probably when Loki was going to create how many different branches from the thousands of times he's trying to kill Sylvie. And then when that finally breaks and he's talking to He Who Remains and he's like, this was all supposed to happen. Like, you know, I can stop time. I can do all this stuff. And then the switch of Loki stopping time as well. And it's like, oh, you think this was the first time we had this conversation? Dab.
That's what got me, is that even as an audience member, we're not even aware of everything that's happened.
No. Nope.
So when he said that, I was like, oh, snap, he's been here before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was really like, as an audience member watching that and be like, oh, so you're playing tricks on us now. You're leaving us in the dark and Loki knows more than we do.
So good.
Yeah.
And you have to think about it too, because at first I was like, how is he able to... Well, how does he have all these temporal powers? It's like, oh, because he's been using them for hundreds of years. Of course he's going to figure out how to use them more than what he thought he could do.
He's very strong.
He's very strong.
He's very strong. He's very smart. He's not just a trickster god anymore.
We know what the failsafe was. It was the loom the whole time. So literally the loom exploding and deleting all the branches is what it's meant to do. Oh my God.
Thanks for nothing, Timely.
I know. I think on the last episode, Ron and I were theorizing about what the failsafe is and everything. And Ron had said, what if Loki himself was the failsafe? So I think Ron had the correct idea of thinking that the failsafe wasn't actually what was saying was being done. But thinking now that we know the loom is the failsafe, and then on the monitor, it's like, thank you for your service. It's because they're telling him like, it's going to be reset. Like, bye. It's so crazy. It was so crazy.
I just feel like this one got so twisty, timey-wimey. And everything, the way it kind of culminated was like, oh, okay. So I feel like we were all almost there, mm-hmm. but we didn't get it.
Right. And I think that Loki had to go on that journey to like finally figure out like, oh, like it is always my destiny to fail. It is my destiny to do this type of thing. Him coming to like that conclusion of, oh, I can't kill Sylvie to save everything. I have to take on the burden of that purpose. Right.
And like that really harkens back to the conversation that he has with Mobius, because the burden isn't killing Sophie. The burden is almost in a way sacrificing yourself. Sophie, what did I say?
You said her real name. Who's so? Oh, Sophie, Sylvie.
Sylvie. The burden isn't killing. Well, no, the burden isn't killing Sylvie. The burden is taking it all on to himself. And even Kang says something that is alluding to what we see later on. He says something like, the person in the big chair is the one that holds all the power. Yep. And it's just like, oh.
I hate that, like, in the first season, Loki's like, I don't want a throne. I don't want all this. And his whole way back to the beginning when he was coming up, he's talking about how it's his birthright and everything. He was right the entire time. It's just not the throne he thought it would be.
Well, it's very much Alanis Morissette's definition of ironic, in the sense that all he wanted to do was save his friends.
Yeah.
Right? And so for a moment, he thinks, I actually have to kill one of my friends to save the rest of my friends. But what ends up happening is that, yes, it's like the Twilight Zone. Mm. It's like, yeah, you can save all your friends, but you can't be with them.
Right. I mean, there's like, I guess, some satisfaction in knowing that, like, you did it, but, like, you don't actually get to have any of the fun, like, outcome of that. Him coming to the conclusion of everything, he who remains still being like, you know, you'll see me again and blah, blah, blah. And he was right. We're going to actually see him again, because we did in the season finale of this one. I was like thinking back and I'm like, they really did. It was a loop regardless, because somebody got pruned in the same episode in the first season. They went to here. It was all just replaying what was happening, especially after thing reset. And I love that Loki came to the conclusion, one, that, like, I have to be the one to do this, but the only way to stop you is to break the equation altogether. And what a glorious breaking this was. This is why this whole scene of him becoming Loki, who he was always supposed to be, the god of stories, whatever you want to call him, this is that moment that I was like, this is so worth it.
They did give us one final glorious hair flip before he goes out onto that gangway. When he lands down there, he goes full plie all the way down. He freaking rockets that hair back and he said, this is my glorious purpose. And we said, yes, Loki, you stupid bitch. And then he gets in high drag. Oh my God. What a bisexual bitch. I can't stand him.
Well, so the moment that he's going down there, right? Goes down there. Everybody's like, what are you doing? I'm very confused. He locks the doors and then Mobius and Sylvie are both at the doors. And he's like, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for all of you. This is what I'm doing it for. But we don't know who he's saying that to, because both of his loves are right there.
All right. This is one of my major bones I have to pick. Okay. How dare you give us a canonically bisexual Loki in the MCU? We see him kiss his sister self, but we see the actual love of his life he gives a gentleman's handshake to? Are you fucking kidding me? They're like, yeah, he's bisexual, wink. Give me a kiss. Now we'll never see it because he's sitting on his gold throne. It's MCU BS.
We'll never get Lokius.
And you know what? That hashtag was trending, okay? People were all for Lokius.
I think there's a lot of people, right? There's a lot of people that, like, didn't want it. People were fine with, like, Sylvie and Mobius. You know, thruples exist. They can do that. I mean, he literally will get a little bit of both. It is sad, but I did like, I am a sucker for, like, the oh my God. I knew I was going to mess it up.
Ambiguously gay duo.
Yeah. Yep.
You're right. They'll return in tights.
Both of them together.
Hello.
But I did like that you didn't know who he was talking to. I mean, I think in general, he's talking to all of them because they're all his friends. But those two are really, like, those are the people that he was doing it for.
He always wanted a family. He got a family, but he had to sacrifice himself for them.
Yeah. The look.
Oh, the look.
The moment. At first, when it was all going off, I thought he was de-aging. I thought we were getting like a kid Loki situation.
We were getting a Benjamin Bitto. Not Benjamin Bitto. That's our friend. Benjamin Button.
He was, yes.
He was our best friend's son. Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I thought that's what was happening. And I was like, oh, are we getting kid Loki? Is Young Avengers happening? But we didn't. And we got... A costume. We got a costume reveal for Loki.
Those horns
just kept going.
Oh my God, they were going in. He said, I got a cape too, bitch.
Derek, when we first watched this, Derek fell asleep.
Was tired.
He fell asleep. I was freaking the fuck out on the couch. And I was like, what? Horns? Oh my God, the cape. What is happening? And I looked over at him and I'm like,
I do wish I was awake because there's nothing like experiencing something glorious with someone. So you could both feed off of each other's energy. Because when I rewatched it today, I was like,
yeah.
But I was by myself.
Yeah.
And it was sad.
So I was too. So I guess we both watched it by ourselves.
That's karma, Derek. Deal with it.
It's so good. Loki taking, he explodes everything, expands all the time things, the timelines, and grabs all of them, walks up invisible steps, takes them somewhere else, sits on his golden throne.
That is made of the decaying body of he who remains.
Well, that's where he's sitting.
No, it literally, the gold went over him.
Did it?
Yes.
I didn't see that.
He sat on the bones of the deceased.
That's fine. He won.
Yeah, it was pretty glorious.
What a freaking way to go out. And then he makes the timelines look like Yggdrasil, the world tree. Ugh, the respect he has for his people. It's just so freaking cool. He did all of this to give his friends time to figure shit out. But he gave them a lifeboat. And I mean, what a fantastic arc for this character. But so sad because he's so afraid of being alone. And he's not alone. He's surrounded by infinite possibilities. But he's by himself.
So I was thinking about this today. And it's such a bittersweet ending for this character. We've grown to love Loki and we want the best for him, but there is some sort of cosmic karma here because Loki, before coming to the TVA, was kind of horrible.
Yeah, he was literally mind controlling.
Yeah. So the fact that he doesn't ultimately get his way, although it's horrible for us now that we love him, when you think back to it, you're like, well, he accomplished his mission. But he did some shitty stuff.
Yeah, but he was on redemption arc. He did good things.
But I think this shows him being fully selfless.
Right.
Whereas for so long, he was selfish.
Well, and I think...
he was a fish.
Okay. What's a fish? I think what makes a god, right? And I mean, in the MCU, I think it gets a little weird because it's like, are they actually gods? I mean, technically, but like, aren't they just aliens on another planet, essentially? But like he did the thing that actually like makes a god. He didn't do something for himself. He did something for other people, and the other people just have to be realities, the whole bunch of the multiverse. And he's a god. I mean, he cemented himself as not only becoming one of the most powerful entities in all of existence, but saved a lot of people.
Like billions of people.
I liked his toms or whatever you want to call them.
He did have delightful little ballet flats. Surely he did.
But like his costume, the horns made from like, it looked like the material from the Citadel, but with like his like hooded sashy thing. His costume really looked like it was past, present, and future Loki just mixed into one. Mm-hmm. I am here for that look. I need like a action figure or something of that. I need it.
They need to make one of him sitting on that golden throne, holding all the timelines. How glorious would that be?
Hot toys, get on it.
Yeah, but make the timelines like see-through. So, and there's a little light at the bottom so that when you click it, they glow.
Ooh.
Right?
I think I'm going to think about the images, especially that whole scene for a long time. It's just, I don't think that like an MCU show or property has like resonated with me as much as this episode or series has. It's just, there's something special about it.
There was a quiet devastation to the end of this. Whereas when I think of WandaVision, that felt like a little more loud and brash. Mm. Whereas this was just so simple and so heartbreaking at the same time. they really achieve something special in that scene.
The final scenes with, you know, we see Mobius and Sylvia a little later, and Mobius is, they all have free will now, right? And I think there is something like kind of poetic about like Loki starting out with taking away free will and then Loki literally giving everybody free will. But like the moment in particular with, you know, Mobius quits the TVA. He's able to go back if he wants to, but he's going to go see his life. You know, if you don't ever look, how will you know? So he's actually looking, right? And we have to remember that this Mobius didn't experience things that themselves, when they went back on their timelines, experienced. So this is the first time he's seeing it, but from like his perspective, not living in that. And there's something really sad about it, but also beautiful that he's able to see that and still knows what he has. But like him saying, you know, I'm just going to let time pass. And it gets that close up of his face. And we don't know where Sylvie's going. We'll talk about like the characters at the end, but like it's up close on his face. He's saying time will pass. And then it goes to Loki and like Loki's final shot with him, with all the timelines around him. And it's like, he's not happy.
No.
And I don't know if the right word is like content, but like, I think he knows like this fucking sucks, but I'm glad that they're able to be okay.
I kept waiting on that close-up of Loki's face. I kept waiting for that just hint of a smile. And we never really get it.
He kind of just like...
Yeah, it seems... I feel like content isn't even the right word. I feel like it's just acceptance.
I think that's the right word.
I accept this existence
right
now. And I can't think about it too much.
It's sad.
Because it's so sad. And I'm just like, what do you do for all of eternity?
He's holding it all together.
That's it. You sit by yourself.
What if he has to use the restroom?
I don't know. Do gods poop and pee?
I've never seen it.
So probably not. Unless that's what ambrosia is.
Oh, okay.
Delicious. So sweet.
But fucking, like that scene in particular, I did start, like, I was getting real teary. I think a tear did fall in that particular moment. It's just so, it's beautiful, but it is devastating, right? And they did such a good job. Like, I just, everybody involved in the show from start to finish, and the fact that they were able to complete this story arc of Loki is incredible. And if thinking back, like, we didn't really have a villain this season. There was like antagonists and like obstacles in the way. And now, like, sitting with it and being like, okay, looking at these two seasons, we just focused on Loki. Like, it wasn't even really about what was going on outside of everything. Like, yes, there's big implications outside of this, but like, to Loki, that stuff doesn't matter. He's here and now. So like, the fact that we just got to sit with Loki for it's so good.
Yeah, it was really well crafted. And I think that it is so interesting to see a character that we very much didn't like when his first appearances of the MCU become quite beloved and wanting the best for him. So I just feel for our God of gods, God of time, whatever he is.
When they did the title card of After, it did make me sad. I was just like, he's still there.
Yeah. I mean, at least we could say that, I mean, we know that he saved everyone. And now the TVA is a better place. They have more people on the council, Casey included.
Well, the war room.
Yeah.
It was opened. Like, right. You saw analysts, you saw hunters, you saw judges. Everybody was in there. We got one last glimpse of Judge Gamble. Mm-hmm. So that was great. And it does look like they are building a better TVA. It seems like really the purpose of the TVA now is to monitor Kang variants, because Hunter B-15 and Mobius kind of talk about it, and they mention Ant-Man Quantumania. They're like, this one caused a ruckus on an adjacent reality to 616, Ant-Man in the quantum realm. And so that was cool that we got some acknowledgement, but like, so Loki gave them time, but there's still the issue of the Kang variant. So it seems like very much that's where it's going.
Can we also just for a second Think about how creepy it is when they're looking at that screen of the now tree timeline, knowing that that's Loki out there.
He's right in the middle.
He's just holding it all together.
Couldn't he just like tie
Make
one
a
around?
Magic yeah. lasso? Why didn't Wonder Woman come in? She always comes into movies and they play that. I mean, I know that's DC, but that's such a Wonder Woman thing to do, isn't it?
It is. Right? Shows up at the last minute.
Everybody's always falling off a cliff.
Rude.
That's the truth.
Yeah. So, sorry. No, that is the truth. Yeah. I mean, so do you want to talk? Okay. Whoa. One thing I have to mention. Well, I mean, there's a few other things, but my biggest grievance with this season is the treatment of Hunter B-15.
You know I have a problem with that.
I was really hoping that by the end, like, I love the character. Misaku does an amazing job. They didn't have her doing really anything. I'm glad that she has, like, a high position at the TVA now. That's great. But, like, it was just very odd that Sylvie and Hunter B-15 this season just kind of were there. Like, Sylvie had some things, but, like, she was just more of a conversation piece, which is important.
Sylvie gave him that McDonald's product placement. That's what they needed her for. But I completely agree. I was super disappointed by B-15's role in this entire season. I think that they really miss an opportunity because this actor is incredible. If you've watched Lovecraft Country, I mean, she's just phenomenal. And the fact that she really got boiled down to being a guest at things. Oh, this is exploding. Oh, turning into spaghetti. Oh,
yeah. Like, she was just
that
the expression.
Was it.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that, I don't know, they brought in new characters that I felt like had more of a role than she did.
Yeah, Casey did.
Casey at least was in the first season. Like someone like Brad.
No, I'm saying they gave Casey, more of a part. Yeah,
100%. And that was wonderful. I was so excited for Casey. But why did we boil, you know, B-15 down to this nothing?
Yeah, I feel like the story that they wanted to tell was so like intimate with like very specific characters that like they couldn't just forget about Hunter B-15. And they were like, just like put her in the room and have her react. And right. That'll be great.
Right. She comes into still work here. That day. She's just like, oh. All right. Now from this angle. Oh. Yeah.
And this is like obviously not against her because she didn't make those decisions.
No.
But like, that's like one of my biggest grievances. And also like Sylvie, I felt like could have helped a little more, but it was all about Loki anyway.
Sylvie got a haircut.
And worked at McDonald's.
Yes.
So where do you think after all this, where do you think that leaves our cast? I mean, we know what Hunter B-15 is doing. She's making the TVA better. We saw OB with a new TVA guidebook. I loved that the colors were just like flipped.
Yes.
Because it was like orange and yellow, and now it's yellow and orange or like whatever those colors were. So I wonder what's in it. But like, where do you think like this leaves Sylvie? What do you think? Is Mobius just going to watch his other life this whole time? Like,
I mean, I think that Mobius and Sylvie now have the free will to do whatever they want. I think that Sylvie is truly going to just be hopping from branch to branch, experiencing different things until some evil in the MCU pulls her back in. Mobius, on the other hand, I think is a very good question. I think that I think he'll ultimately go back to the TVA. He'll ultimately want to work towards the greater good again, but I think he kind of needs a vacation. Maybe his heart is a little broken.
Yeah, okay? That's true. He said that his love is now a tree.
Is a gardener? Is the eternal gardener?
It's beautiful. There is rumors that apparently the TVA, Miss Minutes, and Mobius are going to be in Deadpool 3. Because like supposedly, fast forward a little bit if you don't want to hear rumored spoilers or whatever. The synopsis of Deadpool 3 is like they recruit Deadpool to like get a team together from various timelines like the TVA does. So I don't know. We'll see if that's an actual thing, but I'm hoping to see him again.
Me too. One of the biggest questions I think is what is going on with Renslayer? Mm-hmm. So they make it a point when Mobius tells B-15 that he is leaving, they make it a point to take the camera down to his feet, and he like scuffs his shoe against this emblem in the floor of the TVA. Then when we see Renslayer laying in a field with a pyramid in the background, she's laying on top of the same emblem.
Right.
So what does that mean? Is she in a different variant TVA? Why is she glowing all purpley? Is she just going to become the next He Who Remains? Like, these are big questions.
Well, it is very, it's ominous, right? It's obviously we're not done with Renslayer. She's going to appear in some way. She was essentially the cliffhanger for the series. I think, you know, there's multiple ways that you can think about it, right? Like, what is the void itself? Like, is it just a dumping ground where this giant smoke monster, Eliath, is walking around eating things? Or is it the future where all things have ended and a lot of things have converged into one? We still don't know, since the Kangs are around and they're going to happen. The multiversal war is probably still going to happen if it hasn't happened already or something like that. We know Kang Dynasty is happening. We know Secret Wars is happening, supposedly. They haven't moved the dates yet, but we'll see. So is it possible that that's either the future and all of Secret Wars took place in the TVA or around it and it's just destroyed? Or is that like a different TVA that got pruned and put in there? It's very interesting. Like, is the pruning not technically putting them in a different place, just putting them at the end of time?
What the hell is pruning? We'll never know.
I need to know. But so do you think it was Eliath that was there, or do you think it was a Kang?
I think it was a Kang. I think that the fact that it felt so ominous and she was like so like struck by it, it felt like she was seeing that face again.
She gave, like, there was a split second at the end with her where she gave this look of like determination, where like she knew, like, I can take this on, or like, I know what's going to happen, or like, whatever. I'm very curious to see what it is, because we have that whole thing, in real life, the greater things with the MCU. We don't know what Marvel is going to be doing with Kang, that character, or anything. So like, was there a version of this where like we saw that that was a Kang, but like they're not sure, so they kind of cut him out and just made it
maybe
ambiguous?
Glowing.
Like, I think it's weird that it didn't show who that was.
So I think that, I feel like this series season finale, whatever it is, actually answered a lot less questions than we may have had. And so in this instance, you know, we have that little plot line where Miss Minutes shows Renslayer her creating the TVA with He Who Remains, right? So is this just her back at the start of that, seeing him again, and they're going to rebuild it and go through the loop all over again?
Well, I think that's the question, right? It's like, so He Who Remains created this loop. Did Loki break it because he broke the equation? So like, is the loop gone? And does that mean that like maybe that was supposed to happen, but since it's not anymore, is the multiversal war still going to happen, but in a different way? Timely, we get a scene of Timely at the end of this, and he never got the book.
No, he doesn't get the book as a kid.
So like, does he not grow up to then get introduced to a Kang and He Who Remains to then bring RHWR to where it is? It's very like, this is time travel, right? This, if I think if you look too much into it, it just breaks down. Okay. And it's like, it's impossible.
Maybe the question we have to ask is, what color does Uatu glow?
No.
Is any. He purpley?
I think he's more bluey.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, who the heck is that purple?
Yeah.
It's, I think, just Eliath, a cloud.
I think Eliath was purpley, and I think that's why I first assumed it was Eliath. But then, like, thinking about it, why wouldn't they show Eliath? That'd be weird not to.
Just to make us be like, it's a cliffhanger.
Right.
Evil. I don't know. That is a big question that we're left with. Another big question that we're left with, what's with the pie?
Well, okay. This is me like being sad about everything and just thinking about it, right? So Loki is now the god of stories, is whatever you want to call him. He's the most powerful being, and he's spread out through all this time and everything. Was the green key lime pie just like an essence of Loki that was there all along? Is the time stone green because of Loki? Like, I'm just like thinking of all these things, because he's holding all of time and timelines. Like, it would be weird if some of him wasn't bleeding through all of that. And then it just makes me sad because he's just saying, hi, do you remember me?
Hey, you guys want to come visit? You guys want
to
bring
visit.
Me some pie? Put on a little suit. Come out and say hi. I'll give you fancy shoes.
Yeah.
Someone go say hi, Loki. Someone.
So I think that's the bigger question, right? I wanted to pose it to you and to our listeners. If this is a farewell to Loki, are you fine with that? Or do you see him appearing in the future in some way?
Both. So yes, I am fine with this. I think this is a beautiful end to this series. I think that it really put a cap on who Loki has become and how selfless he has become. Do I think we're going to see him again? Absolutely. He is the most powerful being in all of existence.
What about Gaia from Secret Invasion?
Who?
Sorry. You know, Daenerys.
Oh, yeah. You know, I did like that fight. I know people had problems with that CGI fight, but I was like, finally a fight. Anyway, not to bring up Secret Invasion. Why does Secret Invasion come up? I feel like we bring up Midnight Sun and Secret Invasion too much.
Well, we started with Midnight Sun and Secret Invasion just happened.
And Edward Cullen is watching. Yeah. Right now. But because he's so powerful, I think that he will find a way to create a little avatar of himself that he can send into other realities.
So you think that he's going to create like some type of illusion of himself?
Yeah. That's like his deal.
Yeah. I think, you know, I obviously am selfish and it's like, I'm used to comic books where like characters are gone, but then they come back or whatever. Like, so of course I want Loki and Tom Hiddleston to do this forever. I don't care if he's old. He can be like Richard E. Grant from the last season and he's just in spandex and he's like,
fully support.
Yeah. But I think that they should like let him rest for a little bit. Like, don't bring him back immediately. Right. It's like, we want this impact. We want him to do his thing. I do see, depending on what happens with the Avengers movies, like give it like a, like during Endgame where, you know, you hear in Cap's thing on your left and then all the portals open up. I want that moment for Loki when he comes in to like save everybody.
What is Loki going to say? He's going to say, knee lime pie.
He could be like, what was the thing? Now I'm blanking on what they said. The need help shtick that him and Thor do, like where he's like, need help. And he like throws.
There you go.
Yeah.
I want him.
Yeah. But like, I'm curious if, so these big event movies, they tend to like pull from different event comics and put them together. And there's a lot of talk of like pivoting from Kang and going to Doom. But I'm almost curious if like Loki is going to take the spot of Doom in like the Secret War comics, because like he's all powerful. He gained all these omnipotent abilities and everything very much like Doom does. Also, he's green. And so I could see kind of Loki being a very instrumental key to whatever's going to happen in Secret Wars.
I mean, is there also something to say, which I'm sure you don't want, where Loki is so over all your mortal bullshit that he's just going to let it happen and be like, whatever.
No, because what if Mobius is in danger? He's not going to have that.
Oh, that is true.
He'll be down there in a second. He's like, let's let go of all the time.
And he's going to just smooch him right on the lips. And Mobius is going to say, Loki, I've been waiting for eternity. I'm old now.
Oh, I don't want it to end. I don't want to say goodbye. But I do think that if it was a send-off for the character, beautiful.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, I don't think he himself thought he would be in this position, like Tom Hiddleston. No, like as the actor playing Loki, because they tried to kill him like two times.
Oh my
already.
God, he got freaking choked out. Everything.
Yeah. But now he's here.
Oh. Play Spice Girls, goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye, my friend.
So
I know all the words.
Segue right away from that beautiful rendition. Anything that you want to say about Loki before we stop?
It was terrible.
Uh-huh.
No, I think that although this second season was much different than the first season, I still think it was very entertaining. I was super happy to see this cast back together again. And I just think that final moment of seeing Loki sitting there was just like a really heartbreaking button to this character.
But also just so damn cool with it, like in his cape, he's pulling it. He's doing like a butterfly curl, just like.
Oh, his pecs. Look at his pecs.
He's going to be ripped by the time.
He's always had a booty, but now he's going to have pecs. Wah!
But what do you rate it out of five?
This season. Oh, the season. Out of a five, I'm going to give it a four.
A four?
Yeah.
Rude.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
No, like this is like my most controversial thing that I'll say. I feel like you're going to hate me. I think that the second season could have been a movie.
No.
I think that they could have just boiled it down a little bit.
I don't think that we would have gotten the payoff that we got if we didn't sit with Loki.
Literally sit.
Because there was no villain or anything. You know, I just feel like we wouldn't have gotten those like small nuanced moments with him. It's like even the conversation he had with Sylvie in the bar where he finally admits like, just like want my friends. Like, I just don't want to be alone.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask? Like, I feel like we wouldn't have, those moments wouldn't have had as much impact.
Okay, fair enough.
It's just me. You can have your
opinion. That's fine. Hey, listen, listen. This is a peaceful podcast, okay?
So, loved it. Obviously, there's not much more I can say.
Yeah, what do you rate it?
Four and a half. It's so close to perfect. I feel like don't include Hunter B. 15 if you're not going to actually utilize the character.
Yeah.
That's like one of the biggest grievances I have with this. We didn't mention Miss Minutes. It seems like they're not too worried that she's going to try to murder them, but also
maybe
Obi's like, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. He's like, I can only do so much. She always becomes sentient at some point in time.
I would have given a four, but since we got psychopathic and horny Miss Minutes, it bumped it up a half a star for me.
I did love that part. See, I mean, iconic. There is the greatness of getting even more Miss Minutes in this. We get many more faces of Miss Minutes.
We did. So good. Okay. Well, let us know what you thought. What?
Docs and Brad. What was with the weird head stuff?
I was trying not even to like acknowledge it.
Sorry. No, that just came back up. I'm pissed about it. What the hell was that? That was so bizarre. And we're just supposed to be fine with it?
Yeah.
He watched his lover get squeezed like a grapefruit?
We don't know if that was the lover situation though.
Mother?
Maybe.
Bestie?
Maybe.
I mean, I don't go up to strangers and do that to them.
You should try.
No. No, no, no.
Not in this day and age.
Not in this day and age. Not as a homosexual. No, no.
Well, don't go up to him like...
And why not?
Oh, God.
If I want to flounce up to somebody, I have every right to. Oh, there's a thing in Will and Grace where he's doing a spelling bee and they think the word doily means the way you walk. Yeah. Oh.
He walked doily down the street.
Ah, doily. So good.
So don't doily do that to somebody.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right. Well, next week, Marvels, the Marvels. And then after that, something very different.
Do you like when we do different things?
Book leading into a show.
I hope you'll read along with us.
Yeah.
Ooh, mysterious.
All right. That's a wrap on Loki.
Oh my gosh. From the Tree of Time, we bid you adieu.
Goodbye.
Bye.